Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, December 17, 2018, More Success Team Legal Shield conference call. Again, first of all, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. I also want to remind everyone that next Monday night is Christmas Eve, so we will not be having our regular scheduled conference call. Make sure and put that down. We feel like that's the best time that you need to spend with your family right there on Christmas Eve. We do, however, have a conference call scheduled planned for the next Monday night, which will be New Year's Eve on the 31st. So that's our plans at this time. If you can, we'd love for you to be on that call also. But tonight it is my pleasure to introduce the host for our call. He is a $100,000 ring earner. He's from Boise, Idaho, and that is Mr. Damian Schieber. Damian, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Well, thank you so much. And real quick, before we get started, I just want to make sure that everyone knows that we've got some new $50,000 ring earners on the team. Lisa Streeter has been working with this couple, right? Jonathan and Cecilia Barlow, I don't know if you're in speaker mode or not. I hope you are. But if you are, you know, if you'd like to say a couple of words, we'd love to hear from you.
You know, they are on the call, but I don't believe they called in on the speaker code.
All right. Well, then we'll have to hear from you in a couple of weeks then. But I got
definitely want to do that. You bet.
Yeah. Just so proud of you guys. Congratulations. Joining the Ring Earner Club, so just super proud. Keep the hammer down. Hope you guys are crushing it this month as well. So, but with that, and forgive me, I missed one person as we were going through. I was writing down everyone who's in speaker mode. I missed one person. But I want to make sure we hear from everybody. And what we want to do tonight is we just want to hear. This is one of the things that always motivated me when I was trying to get to executive director was hearing about how other people got to executive director, and I realized that we are, on the More Success team, we are so blessed and fortunate to have so many ring earners and executive directors on the team, and so we wanted to hear from everyone who's on the call tonight in speaker mode, right, so we can help the newest people and inspire them with your stories. And so the very first thing I want to do is I want to go down the list here, and if I call on you, if you would just say your name, your background, the year you started, and how long it took you to get to exec. And we're going to that's the first question. The second question is going to be another quick response answer. And then I've got a couple of questions that if you feel like you want to share, if you feel inspired or impressed to share, then we'd love to hear from you. But I'm not going to necessarily call on everybody because we just don't have time. So, and I also know that sometimes the answers are longer by necessity, and sometimes they can be longer, but they can be shorter. If we can keep them shorter tonight, that would be great because we only have 30 minutes. If it's a long answer, then maybe we just kind of let it go. And, you know, obviously we'll hear from you another time on that particular question. So the very first thing is name, background, year started, how long it took you to exec. And Mr. Moore, I'm going to start with you, sir. So,
well,
Mr. Moore.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Well, Damien, I started in 1984. Actually, I was the very first person that my dad recruited. Back then, I was a state trooper in the state of Oklahoma, and I worked it on a very part-time basis. In fact, the state of Oklahoma shut me down as an agent for an associate for Legal Shield because they said that would be a conflict of interest at that time. And long story short, we recruited my wife in the business. She wrote about 4,000 or 5,000 memberships. We still have those on the books today. And later on, it took several years, but Mike Trumper, the former Attorney General for the state of Oklahoma, we got the law changed where I was able to start working the business again. So it was all the way up until 1999 before I made my first $100,000 in Legal Shield, and then it went up and to the right after that. But it's been a very exciting trip. It's a lot of work, a lot of hard work, I have to say that. But I was very, very fortunate to be mentored by my dad, Mr. Ken Moore.
There you go. And speaking of your dad, Mama, you're on the call with us tonight. Do you remember when, or how, I mean, there was no executive director back when Papaw probably did it. But do you remember how quickly Papaw made money with the business?
He made business. He made $48,600 in his first 6 months in the business. He always asked him, I said, well, Dad, what motivated you in the early years? And he always said, hunger. He was serious, truth of the matter. But, yeah, he was, before there was an executive director program, he was one of the very first people to ever make it when they did to come up with that program. Whenever they had the Platinum program, he was the first one to ever make it, and he never missed it in his entire career with Legal Shield. He made it Platinum every single month, and so that was a big deal. He was the first person to get his $500,000 ring in Legal Shield, and, of course, one of the very original, we talked about original Millionaire Club members. He's right there with Harlan Wilburn and all the rest of them right there at the very, very top. So it was a lot different back in those days. They didn't have the tools that we have. They didn't have the training we have. But somehow work, determination, and grit is what got him through those hard times and helped make this company what it is today.
There you go. Always feel that's important that you guys know that the legacy that you're a part of. So, Mr. Ray Rios and your wife, Linda, you know, background, year started, how long did it take you to go exec?
Sure. Good evening, y'all. We got signed up, I should say Linda got signed up November 1997, I believe, and it wasn't until March 2000 that we started working the business. From March, it took us, it was 3 or 4 months to become an executive director, and in October 2000, that's when I retired from the Army Guard, and for the rest of history, it's all I've been doing since March of 2000.
Right. Those are the people that were like, we look at them and we go, what's wrong with us? And we're struggling. Don't worry. We're not the only ones that struggle. Just because Linda and Ray rocketed to the top, don't think that everyone rockets to the top. So congratulations. So, Manly Wilson and your lovely wife, Barbara, background, year started when you went exec. How long did it take?
Manly Wilson, background, I was in the mortgage business as a loan officer. And I got in the business March 26, 2008, working part-time, part-time doing my job for about a year and a half before I went, what you say, full-time, still part-time, though, at that point. And we hit ED off and on. It's kind of funny. At first, I would just try to hit it just before they had the ED banquet because I wanted to go to the ED banquet. Then I'd fall off of it till the next year. And I think we did that probably a couple years in a row before we finally settled in and said, hey, let's just start making this stick. And then in 2015, we hit our December of 2015, we hit our $100,000 ring.
Yeah, hit the $130,000 ring because we got a $30,000 bonus that the company was offering at the time.
Well, that's correct.
There you go. Congratulations. And then Manly and Barbara's daughter, Stephanie Boley. How about you? Background, year started, when you went exec?
Yes, Stephanie and Sam Boley. Background for me is nursing and real estate. For my husband, he's a safety professional. We came in April of 08. Of course, my dad introduced us to the business about a week or so after he had entered Legal Shield. And, you know, we worked the business spare time. But through that, we still made it to director and started building a team. It wasn't until really about 2013 that I got serious about the business. We went exec in 2015 and hit our 50K ring in 2016. And so there is a pattern here that you see, especially having my dad and I both on the line, is that we saw what could happen when they accomplished that, and that motivated us to get more consistent. So we hit ED, they hit their $100,000 ring, and then we followed with our 50. And so we have, like them, kind of came on and off, but I think about almost 2 years, not quite, a good year and a half, we've been solid ED level. So we're looking forward to the future and helping others get to ED and stay there as well.
There you go. Jeremy Moore, I know, your wife texted me and said you're actually in a place where you can't really talk right now, so if you can, chime in, but if you can't, I'm just going to go by. Harold Simpson, who is the husband of our COO, Chief Operating Officer, Kathy Simpson, who I'm so grateful for because she signs my check. So, Harold Simpson, background, year started, and how long did it take you to get to a desk?
Well, my background is retail management for 16 years. It started in March of 1990. And executive director, I'm going to say it took me about 3.5 years and achieved my $100,000 ring in 2005. In fact, Jeremy Moore and me and another gentleman who's no longer in the business were three Oklahomans who got our rings that night. And
there you go.
Checks due cash because she signs mine too.
There you go. And then Joan Buckner, again, background, year started. How long did it take you to get exact? And her beautiful husband, Bill. There you go.
Let me.
Is Joan not in speaker mode?
Yeah, I was trying to track her down. I don't think she. Let me go ahead and unmute her line individually.
Yes.
Joan, see if your line is unmuted now.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, so my background was insurance. I got started February 15th of 2000, and I signed up as a favor to a friend, so I did absolutely nothing my first year. And then I used the membership, and it was an $85 issue that attorneys helped me with, so that was like, wow, the light bulb turned on, and I started an hour or two a week. And then a couple of years later, I was like, this is some really good income for as little as I'm doing. And then that's when I got serious. And then less than 5 years later, I hit the $100,000 ring. So it's been great.
There you go. And I think there's one other person in speaker mode. So if I missed you, tell me who you are.
Well, I know you have Kent and Darlene too. And, one other one. I'm going to go ahead and individually unmute their lines. And Miss Lynn Harden out of Oklahoma.
All right, cool deal. So Ken and Darlene are right here in Idaho with me. Super excited that they're in the state. Kent, background, year started. How long did it take you to go exact?
Well, I've unmuted their line. Maybe they
knew. Hello.
There you go.
Yes, it's Kent too. Appreciate being on here. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear us?
Hello? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, so we started in 2001, November 2001. So we exactly 1 year to the day we became executive directors, and we held that position for 150 months, direct, steady, never falling out until I got ill and things started changing that way. But it's been a tremendous opportunity, and we really appreciate Legal Shield. So thank you.
There you go. And then did I hear you say Lynn Harden?
Lynn Harden out of Oklahoma.
All right. Background, year started, when you went exec, or how long did it take you?
Lynn, are you in speaker mode? All right. We don't want to forget Mr. Jimmy Parrish in Alabama.
Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, the first thing I want to say to Damien is Joan Buckner may be beautiful, but her beautiful husband is not. So I want to make sure we clear that up. I got started. My background's a Baptist minister. I got started in 1999. And I did nothing much, kind of like Joan, for 3 years and sold 37 memberships in 37 months and was mentored by the late, great Don Bryan and got turned on to some schools. And when I started full-time was the first month I'm ADD. That was in August of 2002 and got the ring in September of 2004. And I was so excited to get the ring that I accepted all the applause, the accolades, and I didn't leave myself anything, and I didn't make ED in September of 2004, and that's the last month I did not make ED. So it took me a while part-time, but once I got going, I stayed that way and very thankful for the business and what it's been able to provide for me and my family.
All right, awesome stuff. Now, Joan's already alluded to this a little bit, but real quick, just going through everyone once again before we get into some questions that will require some in-depth answers, but, you know, some people get started for the money. I understand most of us did it for both. I get it. But I'm going to ask you to choose one. I know some people got started for the money. Some people got started because the membership was so great. I was actually one of those. I looked at this and I said, oh, my gosh, I could have used this I don't know how many times. And not only that, but all my clients could use it. Because like Manly Wilson, I was in the mortgage business. And so real quick, Randy, did you get started? I know your dad signed you up, don't get me wrong. But did you get started for the money or for the membership?
Well, my dad actually, to tell the truth, he actually bought my first year's membership for me. He thought so much of the membership since I was a state trooper. You know, it's a civil vicarious liability is big in law enforcement. And he was worried about, my liability. And he said, I'm going to pay for this for you for your first year. You know, the second year came up, and I said, Dad, it's time for to pay that membership again. He laughed and said, not me. And so I started paying it every year after that. But that's the reason I actually got in the business. I didn't know very much about the business. Actually, it was to help my dad at the time. It took a while for me to figure it out, but once I figured it out, working it on a part-time basis, before I retired as a state trooper, I still made over $100,000 before I retired in 1 year. So that was pretty good on a part-time basis, I think.
There you go. Ray and Linda, what was it for you, the money or the membership?
Did you say Ray and Linda?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, it was the actual numb money itself, the being fed up with the federal government, and I wanted an income replacement.
So more the opposite,
it was more the desire to be free from the slavery of GS-11 government work.
There you go. Manly, the opportunity or the membership?
Initially the membership, because I was shared almost at the same time, and then the minute I saw the membership, I needed it. And then she asked me, are you going to tell somebody else? And I immediately signed up that night. But while I was watching the video, I was thinking about the people at work that could use it. And I'm thinking, man, enough people will buy this maybe over the next 12 months part-time that I can make my mortgage payment. And in 4 months, I was doing that part-time. So I guess initially the membership, but right behind that, the business of making $1,600 a month.
There you go. Stephanie Bowen, membership, opportunity, which did you see kind of got you going?
Absolutely. So immediately the membership, but we stopped, I think, in the middle of the video, and my husband ran to the other room and also signed us up for the associate agreement. So it was almost simultaneous that we saw the opportunity and the membership.
Cool deal. And Harold Pimpin, how about you?
Well, I'm going to be honest. In 1990, I had to make some money because I had gone from about $3,000 a month to zero. So at first it was money, and then I saw what the membership done, and I got passionate about the membership.
There you go. And Joan Buckner, we already heard your $85 story. I'm assuming it was membership for you.
Well, that's how it started. And here's a short little story, because before I signed up, the only thing I ever knew about Legal Shield or prepaid legal back then was that you could get your will done and that Roger Staubach owned stock in the company. That was it. That was all I ever heard from other associates. And I already had my will done. We had a trust, so I didn't need that. Didn't really care that Roger Staubach had stock in the company. So I didn't think much of it. And it was when I used the membership that I got the belief in what it did, but I'm money driven, and insurance was changing a lot. So that was a great transition, a great time for me to transfer to Legal Shield. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Jimmy Parrish, how about you, sir?
It was the opportunity for me, although I grew up with the law firm and I knew all about it. I was in the event planning and Christian travel business when 9/11 hit, and the business I had built deteriorated to nothing, and I had to make some money. And so that's why I went from part-time to full-time pretty quickly. And fortunately, I was just I was on a mission because I had to replace that full-time income, and the B2B side of the business was able to let me do that fairly quickly.
There you go. Kent and Darlene. Membership or opportunity that motivated you to get started?
Yes, we got membership. I was very impressed. It was about a 4 or 5 minute presentation by an associate on the membership, and I went back after and asked to give me some more information on the membership. We got the membership, and then a few days later, they called and says, "Mr. Two, here's a business opportunity associated with that. We'd like to invite you to the overview." So it was probably 4 or 5 days difference when we got into the business, and we took off from there, and we decided to see if it was going to really work. And so the first month we got paid, and we said, the company pays. So we scheduled time, and it just really has changed our lives. So thank you.
All right. So here we go. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, I've got 5 questions. I don't necessarily know that we'll have time for all 5. And we go a few minutes over, forgive me. And obviously don't have time for everyone to answer every question. So I'm just going to throw the question out. If you feel like you've got something that you want to share that would be impactful, please go ahead and do that. But here's the first question. Tell me about the decision to go ED. What was going on in your life that drove you to want to go exec, or what was going on in your business, or what was going on in your head that made you want to go exec?
Well, Damien, this is Randy again, and mine was a little bit different. My dad was trying to build a legacy in this business, and since I was his firstborn son that he had recruited into the business, he said, "We've got to make a game plan, and we need to get you to executive director." And so I didn't even know exactly what that meant at that time. But once we sat down, he showed me the money and the need that I had for extra money, being a state trooper in Oklahoma, was great. So, we just sort of decided together as a family. And as you know, our legacy has grown from there. We've had several generations of our family involved. We actually recruited my grandmother later on, and then Jeremy came into the business, and his other brothers and sisters came into the business. Now we've got some grandkids fixing to come into the business, so it's been a generational deal for us.
Awesome stuff. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Manley and Barbara. I think ours was, we just got tired of fighting, hitting it, not hitting it, and just said, you know what, either we're in this business or we're not. And I think when we made the decision to hit it, we hit it.
There you go. Cool deal. Let me ask you this. What was, and again, this is for anyone who feels like they want to jump in, but what was your activity like, you know, around going exec? Maybe the month before and then the month you qualified and things like that. What did your calendar look like?
Damien, this is Stephanie. It was about, I had to get out of my comfort zone and start really pushing myself. But because, like you, I work all areas of the business. I do team building and business solutions. I realized that if I wanted it to happen, it really was up to me. So I, like you said, looked at my calendar and realized I had too much white space in my calendar. Now, obviously, I was supporting and helping my team grow, but ultimately, we're dealing with a voluntary army. So I made the decision that if I wanted to hit it, it was up to me, and I needed to start filling my calendar.
There you go. Appreciate that. Anybody else?
Yeah, let me jump in there, if I may. This is Ray. You know, an entire career, it's been an up and down ride. And one thing I've learned is that life happens to all of us. And sometimes for those that are on the call that are pursuing to become an executive director, that's just one of the goals, just a stepping stone towards platinum, which you'll do. But also understand that every so often you may not qualify for whatever reason. You know, it may be that we don't work hard enough, meaning hard enough, or we get distracted, or life happens. So it's not a peachy road. And when I was working employee benefits, the group marketing, for the first 5 years, I consistently hit a D because the numbers were there. I was having to feel open in groups and do what I was doing. But after I did a switch to network marketing and started recruiting, you know, not every, somebody said before, it's a volunteer army. Sometimes you're counting on team members to do what they have to do, but we can only count on what we do and count a blessing when our team members do something. You know, but to be real with everyone that's listening, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have a desire to become one of these days an ED, and something's going to happen and stumble, and it happens to all of us. So have faith and put the work, and you will get the results.
Mr. Rios, thank you so much. It reminds me of something that I learned from Jim Rohn, right, which was don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better, right? I never wish it that it was easier. I just wish that I was better. I hope and I pray and all that I get better. But thank you so much. Let me ask you this. How about after? Jimmy Parrish already mentioned that, you know, he hit the ring and then all of a sudden, you know, the next month he took off, basically, as in he took the month off, not that his business took off. But then after that he realized that, you know, he realized what he did and he never missed again. But how many of you, my own story is this. I went exec in 14 months, and then for the next 6 months, I was in and out of exec, and then I went through the desert. It took me longer to requalify, 22 months to requalify than it did to originally go exec. You know, I'm talking about some challenges. And so how about anybody else on the call? I mean, was it all like you hit exec and you stuck, or did how many of you hit exec, like, I know Barbara and Manley already talked about it, but it could be every year for the ED banquet, right? But after you really made the decision that we're going to be in this, right, how many of you, you know, struggled afterwards, or how many of you never struggled?
Well, Damon, this is Harold. I did have some struggles, but I remember the first time that I went ED. It was about 10 o'clock, come home about 10 o'clock at night. I was two sales short. And, of course, the following morning was the deadline. So I went out and stayed till 3 o'clock in the morning to get those two sales. And I kind of fell in and out, but I finally made up my mind, you know, if you're going to do this business, you're going to get with it and stay with it and be at the top. So I'm still
there you go.
Climbing the ladder.
All right.
Damon, this is Randy. Damon, I was always amazed that the people that make it work so hard to make executive director, and then they didn't make it the following month, and that's when the bonus actually kicks in. You qualify, so you get the bonus on all the next month's sales. So over the years, I've noticed many times people work so hard to get the title of executive director, but they don't reap the rewards until the following month. So I want to encourage everybody, when you do it, that's just the beginning. The next month you want to make as many more sales because you have the bonus on top of all that you had before. So I just want to encourage everyone, once they do make executive director, don't forget about the bonus. That's where you get paid for your work.
And, you know, and to that, I'll just add this. Never stop adding people to your list of names. Like, you're focused. You know, you may make a decision to go exec. It might be you might be on a 90-day run. You might be, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to make it happen this month. Whatever it is, we all get it, but what we do is we start emptying the funnel because we have a goal to get to exec. What we want to do is we want to become the exec, right? Not just hit the level, but become the executive director. And because we want to become the exec, one of the things is we never stop adding people to the list so that the next month, we still have people that we're pulling through the funnel, right? And so that's really a huge thing because, again, I hit exec in January, first time. I was an exec in February, but I didn't requalify in February, didn't requalify in March, requalified in April, missed in May, requalified in June, and then went through the desert. So but that was a big thing for me. It was, you know, you need to be talking to people every day, even if you're not going to talk to them, you're not going to expose them today or this week, because you're already trying to finish up the people you've already exposed. Got to be adding people to the list names every day. So two last questions. One is, what is the biggest lesson that you needed to learn that if you had learned it sooner, you would have gone exact sooner? Anybody can take that one? And I'll repeat it real quick. Biggest lesson that you needed to learn that if you had learned it sooner, you would have gone executive director sooner.
Yeah, this is Manly. Do my two exposures consistently every day.
There you go. That's actually huge, because even though we say that anyone can do it, I mean, the 10 core commitments is anyone can do these things. Even though anyone can, most people don't. So that was huge. For me, I never missed two a day until long after I went exact. And that was a big deal. So, cool deal. Anybody else?
You know what? This is Ray. This is Ray. You know, I want to say that. You know, two things. Number one, learn to appreciate your uplines, right? And number two is become the best sponsor that you can, that you wish you would have had, so you can become the best sponsor to your team members. Because always remember, people don't know what they don't know. And sometimes we make assumptions that people know. And the best thing to do is become the best sponsor so you can be the best for them.
I love it. Thank you so much, sir.
And David, I would say this, it's Randy again, attend the weekly business briefings, but to bring a guest, don't just attend, don't make it just a social club, but when you come, make sure that you actually bring a guest, and then teach your team to do the same.
There you go. All right, and here's the last question I've got for the night, and that's if you had one tip for an associate that maybe isn't brand new, right, because a brand new associate has lots to learn, the tip I might give them might be a little bit different. But one tip to an associate that's been in, you know, 3 months or more, right? They've been around the system long enough to kind of get acclimated. You know, I know Dave Cerulla's one tip would be learn how to give a presentation. And that's something I definitely took to heart. But if there's one tip to an associate that's been in 3 months or more, what would it be? And any of you want to feel bad?
I would just say be consistent continually. If you don't want to double your success, double your rate of failure.
And that's coming from Mr. Persistency, deemed by Mr. Ken Moore, Mr. Harold Pinson.
That's right. I was just thinking that, too. So cool.
Well,
Jamie,
this is Jimmy. I would say from a B2B perspective, focus on opening small groups. If you're focused on that side of the business and you can focus on small groups, it's no different than people in the real estate industry where they talk about, you know, getting listings. Because if somebody gets a listing, whoever sells it, the listing agent gets paid. Well, if you open a group, you're going to get paid. And, you know, I've been able to build a book of business hundreds strong, and I get paid when other people go out and work my business, whether I do it or not. So from that side of the business, I would say that's a very important point to consider as you're getting started in that side.
Appreciate that as well. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Joan Buckner. I would say the number one thing is personal development. You know, this is a business and you're a business owner. There's going to be great times. There's going to be bad times. Then there's going to be frustrating times. But the personal development is what's going to get you through it, and just never, ever quit.
Joan, what's a book you'd recommend to someone who's been in the business 3 months?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. If you haven't read Brian Carruthers' Building an Empire, absolutely that one. Because that teaches the basics of our business, the nuts and bolts. And then anything for strengthening the mind, like Jim Rohn. I just read a great one called A Million Little Ways by Emily Freeman. That was fabulous if you want some good empowerment there. And read another one right now called The 9 Things You Must Do by Dr. Henry Cloud. So some great stuff on that one, too.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got questions that I could ask these reading learners all night, but our time is done. I will say I want to leave you with one tip. Mr. Ray Rios said, you know, appreciate your upline. But I want you to know that, you know, we always say, a lot of people say there's really no secrets in the business, right? Because we don't want to hold anything back because when you do well, we do well, right? When my team does well, I do well. So I want to make sure they know everything. But the one secret, I think there is one secret in the business. And, you know, Ray Rios again said, appreciate your upline. But I want you to understand, if you will care more about your upline success than your own, and you won't hear that very often because the team's self-serving, right? It's hard for me to go to my team and say, hey, you should care about my success more than yours, right? That it doesn't come across well, and so it doesn't get talked about a lot, but the reality is if you will care more about your upline success than your own, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't care about your own. You should care about your own a great deal. But if you will care about your upline success more than your own, one of the reasons, the biggest reason possibly that I've been successful in Legal Shield is because I've always cared more about my upline success than my own. Before I was an executive director, I wanted to make sure my friend who recruited me, Doug Atwood, was an executive director. Like, I would stretch to help him hit exec in ways that I wouldn't stretch to help myself hit exec. Right? And most of us do that, especially if your parents on the line. You guys know you'll do more for your kids than you will for your own. Darnell Self always says, I'll do more for the team or for the group. Like, if we're all dieting together, he uses that as an example. If we're all dieting together, he'll turn down his daughter when she offers him homemade cookies because he won't let the team down. But if he's just dieting himself and Milan comes to him and says, well, you know, they're really good, I made them for you, you know, he'll be like, okay, I'll have just one, right? We're willing to not step up as much when it's just for ourselves. And so there's a whole ton of other reasons why it works. But if you will care more about your upline success than your own, and you care about your own a great deal, you're going to go far in this business, okay? And with that, as Mr. Randy Moore told you, no call next week, but there'll be a call on New Year's Eve because for most of us, it's early enough in the evening before New Year's Eve really kicks in. So it'll be a good time to come together as a team once again, to be able to kick off the new year ourselves. But we wish you the very merriest of Christmases. I want you to know that I know that my Savior lives. I know that He loves us and He watches over us. And I pray each of you have a Merry Christmas. With that, Mr. Moore, I'll turn it back over to you to close out the call.
Well, Damien, you did an outstanding job. I know we took a little longer tonight, but we had several guest speakers. It's always good to hear from the leadership of your team and the people that's been in the trenches and have done it. I would encourage you, as far as books, if you've never read The Ladies' Men or The Prepaid Legal Story, if you want to know the history of our company and the legacy that Mr. Stonecipher has given us, you want to see what he went through so that we might have this opportunity, I would encourage you to read those books because they are fantastic. But like we always say, let's keep God first, family second, then Legal Shield, and everything will come out just fine. Merry Christmas, everyone, and good night.